This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning on ESPN Sports Radio 1300 and 92.5. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLauro5. Today's show is brought to you by French Lick Resorts, Edwin Watts Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Carroll and Stone Insurance, Man O' War Golf, and Griffin Gate Resort and Spa. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. I'm laughing at something that Sean, who, by the way, is the best producer anywhere in America. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Just like you wrote it.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Hey, everybody. It's Backspin Golf. Hi, Perry French. Perry French.
Good morning.
Hi.
What's going on?
Oh, nothing. You and I.
Yes.
Every week we sit, except for the rare times when you're on the road and you'll call in, but most of the time we sit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we are sitting together a couple days before Sunday morning. Full transparency.
Right.
Because.
What?
I am going.
Something going on this weekend?
I will be away this weekend, which, by the way, I never get to do.
There you go.
Don't take vacations. Is this right, Sean? I am here all the time. I don't, you know, other people go to Ireland for 2 weeks, Collie. Different things. I don't get to do that. This weekend, very shortly, actually, I am going to Sweetens Cove in South Pittsburgh, Tennessee. As we talked about last week, my brother Mitchie and I on Backspin Golf, and I'm really excited. 24 of us, I believe, might actually be 26,
mm-hmm.
at Sweetens Cove for the weekend doing insane golf things. It's going to be fantastic. Fantastic. I'll already have done it when this
right.
show is airing.
Right, right. So we'll talk about that next week, the
yes.
trip
oh,
to
yeah.
Sweetens.
Oh, yeah,
one
yeah.
of the most talked about in recent years,
absolutely.
Golf facilities in the country.
Nine holes. And ranked 50th in America
in the modern
of courses
course.
Mm-hmm. you can play by Golf Week magazine,
mm-hmm.
ahead of Valhalla,
mm-hmm.
Quail Hollow,
mm-hmm.
a bunch of iconic golf courses,
right.
a nine-hole course.
And that's pretty
wait.
Cool because if you haven't played nine-hole golf courses in the day, I grew up playing a lot
of
nine-hole
of
golf
did.
Courses.
Yeah.
And it's a unique piece of Americana,
yeah.
and they've taken this property. It's how old now? Do you remember how old it is?
I don't remember how old the golf course
yeah.
is not.
Yeah, it's less than
27, 2 years ago,
so,
I think.
Pretty new to the landscape. So for someone to build a nine-hole golf course in 2016, 2015,
yeah.
have it be open then
right.
is a pretty unique piece of the golf business
yeah.
to have that. And it's getting all the reviews, like we just said.
Well,
and it's getting some people out there to.
Well, you know, once your ownership group includes Andy Roddick and Peyton Manning,
yeah, yeah.
you start to get, the buzz about the place, I mean, when it opened, nobody knew about it.
Right, right.
And then little by little, some big people came and played it, and the word got out, and
yeah.
Now it is South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, a destination.
Yeah, I say it's a place you could literally drive on by and not know that you've been through or to there. So
hopefully somebody from the Chamber of Commerce will be playing with us this weekend, and that's what I'm going to propose.
Right. Now
you should have a commercial, South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, a true golf destination. I mean, you know, who thinks of that? You know, anyway.
Well, have a great time doing
thank
that.
You.
I think it's.
Thank you.
Well,
we're
going to
play night
to
golf, which I've never done. Have you ever done that?
I have, long time ago, back in the late 80s, early 90s.
Get out of here.
I swear to God, we were
how
one of the first clubs.
It?
Well, we had literally glow sticks. Glow golf balls.
You that had was one, glow golf
yeah,
balls
we had
then?
A yes. They, it was part of a it was
wow.
a club member event that we ran. It was hysterical. We did the Halloween night, so
oh,
it was a
no,
Halloween
see,
party.
No, I'm not. No,
this was complete
no
night golf.
No,
with,
no.
It was a little dangerous in spots to say the least. But it was a unique thing. I wouldn't recommend it as a regular activity
yeah.
at the club. But it
well,
was
now they got all this stuff. You know, they're the balls, the holes. The
yeah.
there. It's not lit up,
right?
Like playing a night game in baseball or something. Right. But I've never done it.
I've played par
really
three
excited.
Courses, lit par three courses in the evening time, and right. complete darkness. But, yeah. you know, under the lights, which right. is fun. So
that'll be fun. We're gonna yeah. play. We're gonna have a 9-hole strictly hickory tournament. We're gonna have
say that three times.
We're gonna.
Strictly hickory.
Strictly hickory. Strictly hickory. Strictly hickory.
Right,
see? You forget you're dealing with a theater major.
No.
Anyway, but I didn't warm up, which I was pretty impressed with that. Okay. Also, we're going to play, I forget what Mitchie called it, like geography golf.
Mm-hmm. Cross something. Country.
Cross country
yeah,
golf.
Cross yes, country is where you
we tee off on one, but we're playing seven.
You play the seven green, yeah. You play
seven green, and then back and forth and different stuff.
That's a blast to do that yeah. as well.
And just an incredible group.
You have
of
to
guys.
Have a golf course. You will obviously have the course to yourself to do that event because you're.
We have the we have Sweetens Cove, Friday and Saturday to ourselves, wow. both days. It's going to be
okay.
unbelievable.
It's going to be good.
Great things planned for Friday night, Saturday night. I probably won't. Mitchie said, if you want, you could drive back. Saturday night, it's going to take about
good,
three and yeah, a half, 4 hours.
4 hours at least, yeah. maybe four and a half.
No, five, no, 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 no.
Okay.
For me, no.
It's a good poke down there. But yeah. but I think I've had some friends, golf pro friends, might have made the trip down there and nothing but raves. So.
Right. Okay. Cool.
Good
All
stuff.
Right. Now, okay. This, while the show is on, we are going into the final round mm-hmm. of the tour championship.
It'll be Sunday. Mm-hmm,
of the tour. Which used to be just an amazing event.
Was it though? With the points well, jockeying and all
well,
that? Was
it?
They had
no,
Steve Sands up to
play,
get up there and,
so,
and
right.
tell you, well, if he finishes fourth place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he finishes
all,
third.
This
you know.
Week, they're all saying, you know, it's too bad. Steve Sands doesn't get to do his. That used to make me sick.
Yes.
All of it. Anyway.
I didn't even watch it, but yes, right. to that point. So they've simplified the format in the sense of from a viewership as who is going to win this event and have it actually be done in real time
right.
without wondering where the leaderboard shows up. The leaderboard will reflect.
Who's going to win the Tour Championship and the FedEx
correct.
Cup.
Correct. They will win. That person, that player will win both of those
both, right.
with the win on correct. Sunday.
Correct.
That,
and $15 million.
And $50 million, yeah. $375,000 for last, for 30th, for showing up.
Just for
up.
Showing up.
That's, you know, 30th that's a little
place.
Bonus money.
Yeah.
So the 30th guy is going to have to make up 10 shots. Jason Kokrak is going to have to make up 10
yes.
shots on Justin Thomas because that's the
correct.
The margin
now,
of handicapping.
Now, for people listening, even though we discussed this last week,
right.
let's just update everybody. These events, the FedEx Cup, have culminated in these 30 players showing up in Atlanta at Eastlake.
Mm-hmm.
And it's predetermined. Last week, Justin
right.
Thomas
based
won the BMW, and he is the number one
points.
Seed.
Mm-hmm.
He number has one. The number the most points. He starts with a lead over all 29 other
right.
golfers.
He is 10 under par
correct.
On the first tee.
Which I would like Thursday. That. I'd like to go to Kearney right. Hill and on the first tee be 10 under par.
Yeah, so understand he has a two-shot lead on the second place player.
Right.
So it's a handicap.
Patrick Cantlay is second.
It's a handicapped event.
Right.
I chuckle because it just gets my tickles me that the guys are giving shots.
It's a handicapped event
it's a handicapped
on the PGA
event.
Tour.
But it's a
yeah.
reversal.
Yes.
So, okay, the guy in last place is giving 10 shots to the guy who's playing the best.
Right.
So good luck with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so now, not that
he
it couldn't happen.
He only has to make up 2.5 shots a day.
Right.
I mean, it's not that much.
It's not insurmountable. And the fact that at least for some... Or in context, the 30th guy has a chance to win this thing by winning the event. In years past, the 30th guy could win and not have enough points.
Right, to win the FedEx
correct.
Cup.
Correct, he wouldn't have enough
right.
points. So
but
it's like, why are we, if
thing.
You're the last 30, why can't you, somebody, everybody should have a chance to win every year. I don't know why the first 12 years were done this way. It's
right.
still beyond my comprehension.
Yes.
So,
but here's the thing, who cares? Wow, the guy that was 30th won the FedEx Cup. I don't care.
Right.
I don't care.
Well, we had this discussion
that's
as we were walking
line.
In today. The FedEx Cup final, the 30 players
yes.
in the field, is missing the two first and last major champion winners this year with
yes.
Tiger and Shane Lowry, not in
right.
the field.
Correct.
And to that point, we said, what is going on here? Why in the world wouldn't you have that be an automatic qualifier?
Yeah.
Because you'd
right.
want the four majors, aside from a two-time winner,
right,
be in that in the field just because they won the major that year. You would think if anything right. qualifies you for the tour championship,
right,
that would be
so.
We're gonna drag this through the mud with this point system. I don't know what's gonna go on for next year, but they got to change it again.
Well, there's been so much from all over. I haven't read one positive thing about this.
And the viewership will be affected by this formatting of
yes.
the last three. And the fact that it's being played in August to try to avoid football. They did all these things to try to make it better, and it's really netting out to be
right.
not much more than
it'll be interesting.
Not much more than the Sanderson Farms
correct.
In a tournament town in Biloxi, yes. Mississippi
yes.
next month. Have fun, boys.
Except that the winner gets $15
million. Yeah, exactly.
And showing up gets you $396, I think.
Is it $396? Almost $400,000. Okay, yeah, pretty nice chunk
something.
Of change for...
Let's not forget that in... And, of course, different times. But let's not forget that Sam Snead won 82 golf tournaments and won $684,000 in
wow.
his whole career.
Yeah, yeah.
Times change.
Sure, times have changed.
I mean, we know, but still.
Yeah. That's a pretty good stat. You just kind of pulled up out of there. But and a good one... But again, I've had this discussion with a lot of people in the world about golf mm-hmm. and trying to compare eras. But we do it with all athletes, you know, Jordan
right.
versus
yeah, of
LeBron.
Course.
And the fact of the matter is, it's such a dynamic change within the less certainly a decade
right.
of each of these players. We're seeing this now. We've talked about it, the players coming out mm-hmm. today, the Tiger effect that took place in 2010 maybe when you know he'd been out there for 10 years
right.
the young guys or the kids who were 10 that were now 20
right
these kids are high school golf's going on right now
right.
in Lexington and
yes.
around the state. The scores that kids are shooting, boys and girls, are from when my son played, and that's only 7-8 years ago now. He's been out
right.
of high school, or not totally, he started high school 8 years ago
mm-hmm.
now he's gone for four, so they are literally shooting 7 to 10 shots per team lower than a winning score was 8 years ago. So 300 was a really good score. 75 is an average top four scores. Now it's going to take 290. It takes 290 to win.
Yes.
So the players are 2.5 shots, 3 shots better. They're shooting average of 72.
Right.
You know, 73. It's
and
just
this
as dynamic.
Will only continue.
Correct.
Too.
And there are kids that are out there shooting 64s and 65s in high school tournaments that. It's just amazing. So
there was a high school tournament out at Kearney Hill last week.
Right. Right.
You know 18 where we play all the time?
Yeah.
And I marveled at when we went to the girls' junior PGA championship mm-hmm. last year out mm-hmm. there, 15-year-olds. 18 is a par 5,
right.
fairly long from where
oh,
they
sure.
played a 4.
Yeah, yeah.
And routinely, these 15-year-olds were hitting the green in 2. Routinely.
Oh, yeah.
So some high school kid made a double eagle there last week on
yeah.
18. His drive was so far... down there, I forget, it's like the pros. He hits something like 6-iron in or
right.
And 7-iron.
Golf courses are firm and fast right now with the way the weather's been here, hot and dry. But let's jump back to Adam Scott's comment about playing Medina. You know, 25 under par, Justin Thomas, amazing golf.
Yes.
Matsuyama, our guy, shoots 63
twice.
Friday and Sunday
doesn't win.
Right. Didn't show up on Sunday very well. Or Saturday very well, but
yeah.
But my point is that what Adam says, he said the guys are missing it in the course setups. Long is not an issue. Length of golf course is not an issue. The ball is flying straighter than ever
mm-hmm.
from all the things, from player to technique to equipment.
Right.
And certainly golf ball being a piece of that pie, big piece of that pie.
Yeah.
If you have to make players shape shots, judge distances, that 240 is the length off the tee versus into 270. That's the window.
Right.
That they hit at 280, trouble in River City, they
there's
hit 230.
True.
Exactly.
Right.
And so this maybe renaissance in golf at the major level,
yeah.
i.e. these, we'll give the Tour Championship, the last three, the two FedEx events and the Tour Championship,
right.
we'll give them a little bit more status than a regular
than
Tour event.
Absolutely.
Sure. So that those golf courses, like a Medina, can... not be held defenseless because they need to do something in the way the golf course is set up. Now,
right.
with the trajectory of the golf ball, they can carry trees and carry dog legs, but if a player can knock it over trees, dog leg into the fairway 300 yards away, good on him,
yeah,
or her. But by the same token, make it for the you have to play this golf course in
right.
maybe the way it was played back in Sam Snead's day.
Right.
That's the way that we can try to test the time of technology and player level against.
Here's the thing.
Previous generation.
Last week, they had the U.S. Amateur at mm-hmm. Pinehurst Number 2.
Mm-hmm.
That golf course, and these kids are fantastic, these young men.
Yeah.
That golf course, you want to see a true test of golf? Go to Pinehurst Number 2. And these guys are hitting it 330.
Correct.
Doing the
right.
same thing.
Right.
But you want to see a test of golf? Pinehurst Number 2 knows what to do.
Sure. And they always have.
And Medina always did too.
Yeah.
Except now.
The golf course being soft helped them control the landing of those tee shots,
right.
and they
did,
the
yeah.
ball didn't bounce into the rough as a run out. The greens were dart boards, so there are some circumstances that can certainly affect
right.
the best players to be really, really good because of the conditions.
Yeah.
So that affected that. But I thought it was an interesting point that he made, Adam Scott, that is, to say, look, if you're going to change the dynamic of what you think the players need to do, you need to change the challenge them with the shots
right.
that they have to hit.
And Tiger came out with some really, really right-on comments about all of this after the whole thing. He talked basically the same thing Adam Scott was saying and about how every single one of these guys, it's the driver is the most important
right.
club in your bag.
Right.
And that's not the way golf was meant to be played.
So harken back to Tiger winning at Hoylake with the one iron off the tee, or
right.
two iron stinger off the tee.
They were hitting two irons into greens, two irons at Medina. I just read an article. They listed all the incredible championships, U.S. Opens, and all kinds of tournaments played there.
Mm-hmm.
And players used to hit two irons into those greens. They're hitting nine irons
yeah.
into those greens.
Well, they're taking 540-yard par fives and playing them at 540-yard par fours now, and it's driver
yeah, but
six iron and
that's
seven
right.
iron.
There's a 612-yard par five.
It's just beyond.
It's still driver and five iron, driver
yeah.
six
right.
iron.
Which is back in the day, a driver five iron par four at 460 was quite a test,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, and you had, and
right.
maybe a driver two iron
right.
with certain players.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a dynamic that's changed. We're probably not going to see any type of reverse course from
right.
setups and length.
But it does just spotlight again that people feel like something needs to be done.
Right.
So
we want to see that happen. To change
right.
it's just change the dialogue and
yeah.
and what happens.
Yeah.
Bomb and gouge was fun for a while.
Yeah, but no,
but now no, it's not no. so much.
And everybody's doing it. It's not like there's two guys doing it.
Right.
Everybody's doing it, except me. All right. I'll see you next week. We'll
see
talk.
You next week.
Sweetens Cove.
Have a great one down
and,
there.
And
I'm jealous.
I'm probably going to be hitting driver 8-iron into some 450-yard par fours. Down there.
Yeah, you will, but was the 8-iron going to be your third or fourth shot?
Nice talking to you, Perry.
See you, Matthew.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.
Welcome back to Backspin Golf. I'm pretty excited. On the line with me now is Jay Coffin, who is the editor of GolfChannel.com. Hey, Jay, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Well, good. Thanks for being on with us a little bit here. I want to ask you, because I've been on the shows leading up to the Tour Championship, and maybe you can fill us in how you feel about this. There's been a lot of criticism of this Tour Championship because of the new format, and, you know, we got guys starting out that are 10 shots back and all of the stuff that we've all been through. Do you have a feeling about this and about how it's going to all go?
Yeah, it's certainly different, right? I mean, it's
yeah.
it's different, and I'm trying to take a wait and see approach and see how it kind of plays out before I figure it out. But it's different. I mean, look, the way I explain it is: look, I've never stood on a first tee of anything and felt like I was 10 shots ahead. I felt like I'm 10 shots behind about every
me
time.
Me too.
That first tee ball. But you know what? It's different, and I will say that's what the tour wanted. The tour wanted different. They didn't want stale. They didn't want the same 72 hole. They didn't want that. They didn't want a scenario that they had last year. Tiger Woods winning, that was, they were fine with that. But Tiger Woods won, and Justin Rose also won the FedEx Cup and took home $10 million, and nobody said anything about that.
Right.
So this had kind of been brewing for the last couple years because that has happened. But last year was kind of the mother of all scenarios, right? You've got Tiger Woods winning, and then nobody says boo to the guy who wins $10 million and's taking home, you know, taking home the title that FedEx paid a lot of money for. So something had to change. It's different. I know that there's a lot of pressure on Justin Thomas. He said all week he's never slept on a lead on Wednesday night before. And so it's different, you know. I mean, if he goes out and makes a bogey early, basically all that's pretty close to a race.
Right.
So Thursday and Friday are more important than they've ever been before, you know. They say you can't lose a tournament on Thursday. Well, I think you can almost lose a tournament on Thursday now.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's a really good point. I think the other things that golfers and people, you know, there are a lot of media people talking about it as well, leading up to the tour championship. I think some of it, you know, there's the whole thought of, okay, now we got a new tournament. It's 4 days. Everybody start even, and the best 72 hole score wins. But then you have to factor in the money for the FedEx Cup and the FedEx Cup points and all that stuff. So here's the other point, and then we'll go on to something else. I have a problem with the two of the major winners not being in Atlanta this week for the biggest tournament of supposedly of the season. I have a problem with that.
I kind of do too.
Yeah.
There's a couple things.
I don't want to put you in an awkward position.
No. I look. I hit fastballs with the greatest of ease.
Attaboy.
Don't worry. And curveballs. So don't worry. They're not putting me in a weird. It's weird because Tiger also won this tournament last year.
Yes.
So you don't have the defending champion, and you don't have the person who won the Masters.
Right.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Right. I will say this: he did not really play well the rest of the year other than the Masters,
right.
Nor did Shane Lowry, who won the Open a few weeks back in Ireland, didn't play well in anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this also. A couple years back, two major winners didn't make it to the FedEx Cup, and nobody said anything because they were Danny Willett, who won the Masters, and Henrik Stenson, who won the Open, and nobody said anything.
Yeah.
So it is, we are talking about it because Tiger won the Masters, and it is relevant, and it's legit, and I still think it's weird, but he didn't really play well anywhere else.
Yeah, these are all good points, and it's why you're who you are, and why I'm sitting here behind a microphone. So I get it. I mean, we have the other thing I wanted to talk to you about, and I don't know if this is going to come into play with 30 players out on the course, but is the issue of slow play, which has been huge because of Bryson DeChambeau, and we all know about J.B. Holmes and all this stuff going on. Is this going to affect the tour championship at all these 4 days? Are they looking to do anything to make sure that guys are playing at the right pace?
I don't think it's going to happen this week because of the small field.
Yeah.
I hope that it doesn't. Look, here's the thing. This hasn't changed, and it's not ever going to change, is that players will play as slow as you let them or as fast as you make them.
Right, right. That's it.
And it is. If you let them take 6 hours, they'll take 6 hours.
Right.
If you make them take 4 hours, they'll take 4 hours. You know what happens? Anytime on Sunday it looks like it's going to rain and they may have to push it over to Monday, you know what? They finish because the players essentially start running to their ball.
Right.
Now, I'm not expecting that to happen, but what happened to Bryson is ridiculous. There is no explanation.
Yeah.
Zero explanation for taking 2.5 minutes
on an 8-foot putt.
Miss a putt.
Yeah.
To miss a putt.
Right.
It's ridiculous on every level, and anybody who thinks that's okay, it just has a screw loose.
Yeah.
So they've got to fix something. There is a little bit of pressure on them. The European Tour a couple days ago came out with
yes.
a new 4-point plan to fix it next year. So there's a lot of pressure on the tour to kind of, not necessarily follow the European Tour, but to figure it out quick.
Yeah. Your actual title is the Senior Director of Editorial for GolfChannel.com. You've been with the website since 2008. We're talking with Jay Coffin, but you've also been, you've done a lot of other things. You were with Golf Week magazine. You're a writer. You do a ton of stuff. Because you're a lot younger than I am. I don't call people old. Trust me.
Okay.
We only got about 45 seconds. What is this 4 days going to be incredibly hectic for you? I assume it is.
It is, but you know what? It's better than the alternative, right?
Yeah.
I think it is. It's a big tournament. $15 million is on the line. It's different. We don't know what's going to happen. It's a different format. They're going to love it. They're going to hate it. People are going to crash and burn.
Right.
People are going to move up and win a lot of money. People are going to move down and lose a lot of money, and I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah. I think we're all fine with that part of it, too. And look, 30th place is getting almost $400,000, so...
thank you, Shabby.
God bless them all. Thanks so much, Jay. I really appreciate you being with us, and I hope I get a chance to talk to you again soon.
Yeah, me too. Appreciate the time.
Okay.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their 5 public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play Golf Lexington.
All right. Welcome back. So lucky. I am so lucky. I have 2 partners on the show now, as you all know. Perry French, of course. And my buddy Dan Houser down in Florida. Hi, Dan. I'm chuckling.
How's it going?
The stiff shaft, baby. Listen, so you and I, right before we went on the air, we had a interesting little text discussion about when we were going to talk. And you sent me a funny GIF. It's GIF, right, John? It's not GIF. It's GIF. Anyway, Dan is a young guy. Is it GIF or GIF?
Well, according to the inventor of it, it's GIF.
There you go.
Each their own.
No, well, I would go by the inventor. I mean. GIF is peanut butter, he said.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But it's spelled differently. So the nice argument, not. So you sent me a good GIF, and I sent you back a picture of a perfect golf swing. Guy following through after hitting the ball. And I said, I found an old picture of me. And you said, Sevy Lawrence. And I said, no, so it really is me. And now you actually thought maybe it was. I think this is fantastic. This made my day.
You're his long lost twin brother. We just found out today, apparently.
Yes. Well, because in that picture, he's in his early 20s, I would say, in that picture.
That's a very young Sevy in that picture.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And he had dark hair like I did. Hair, number one. And then dark, dark hair like I did. And dressed impeccably. And that perfect, right after you make contact with the ball. And it could very easily be me, because that's. Except for a couple of things. I'm not...
I say it could very easily be you, except for the fact that he probably shoots about 20 strokes better than you.
Well, all right. Well, there's that, too. Oh, man. But I have never, ever, in 30-plus years of playing golf, I have never looked like that swing 2 feet past hitting the ball. Never. Not one time.
Well, of course not, because if you did, then you wouldn't be talking to me right now. You'd be
on the Champions Tour.
On the Champions Tour. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
You'd be going up against Bernard Langer trying to take him down.
That's exactly right. I would be. By the way.
And if I had that swing, I wouldn't be talking to you, because I'd be partnered up with Brooks and JT this week trying to run down 15 mil. So,
All right. So it's both of us. Yeah. Send me a picture of one of your swings like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I'll get right on that never, because it'll never happen.
Okay, good. It's best left to ourselves. Just keep it to ourselves.
Maybe in my dreams that swing happens, but, you know, that's about it.
You know, I don't think I've ever talked about this on the show, just to wrap up my Seve thing, who is my idol. When emails first came about, when computers first came about, my first email, and still my email to this very day, contains the word Seve in it. So that's how long Seve and I have been long-lost twins or brothers. Except I'm older than him. Go. Sean has no idea what is going on here now. Anyway, all right, you brought it up. So let's start here. Perry and I discussed it a little earlier, but let's start here because I love talking, ranting with you about anything, really. But you've made some, you made a great observation, and that was that how can you have a season-ending event with a select group of players that does not include the winner of the Masters or the Open Championship? How is that possible?
My first initial thought the other day upon seeing the stat, and I believe it was Doug Ferguson of the AP who first brought it to all of our attention, the fact that of the 30 in the Tour Championship, I want to say the total was, I believe, only 11 of those 30 actually won a tour event this year. So my first thought was, all right, listen, it's just simple. You win a full field tour event. So not the opposite field stuff, but you win a full field PGA Tour regular season event, you are automatically qualified for the Tour Championship. Then I thought about it more. I'm thinking there's over 40 tournaments in a year.
Right.
That could cause problems. It's very rare that we ever have a season where there's no repeat winners, but God forbid if that would ever happen,
yeah.
Logistics, it would be a nightmare. So, all right, so let's go ahead and scrap that one. Then I said to myself, okay, if this truly is a season-long race, which they say all year, they shove it down our throats, season-long race for the FedEx Cup, season-long race for the FedEx Cup.
Yes.
If this is truly a season-long race for the FedEx Cup, then if you win a major championship, you should automatically be qualified for the Tour Championship. You could even go further as to even say, hey, if you win a major championship and then the players, because, you know, the PGA
you
Tour,
put that's the players
their, that's
in
their
there.
Major. So you throw the players in there, too. That's fine, because that's the Tour's major, the unofficial fifth major, blah, 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 blah. That's fine. But and people have been coming back to me and saying, well, if it wasn't for the fact that Tiger was one of those major winners, nobody would be talking about it. That's fine. But you could start any sentence with, if it wasn't for Tiger in the history of golf since he started playing, and if it wasn't for Tiger, the winner this week wouldn't be getting $15 million. If it wasn't for Tiger, you know, so if it wasn't for Tiger, the modern game of golf wouldn't exist. So forget that if it wasn't for Tiger. The fact that this happened to Tiger, if anything, is a good thing because it helps open our eyes of just how absolutely absurd and asinine this concept is now of this Tour Championship. And then on top of that, you have a guy like Shane Lowry who, I mean, come on. One of the greatest major championship stories of the modern era. The guy's Irish, and he wins the Open Championship in Northern Ireland, and the entire country puts him on his shoulders, and he basically goes and parties for the next month straight. I mean,
yeah.
You know, forget the partying part, but still. How about
no,
just the fact that
I
it was
won't.
An Irish guy? How about the fact that it was just an Irishman winning in Northern Ireland
right.
for the Open Championship? He's not playing this week.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
not there because he didn't finish in the top 30 because the FedEx Cup point system is absolutely asinine because the majors are only worth two times the normal points, and when you get to the playoffs, they're worth four times. So it's just, if you win a major championship, you should be in, plain and simple, because that's rewarding you for having an excellent season.
Correct. No matter what happens. Tiger only played in 12 events.
He had
a great year. He won the Masters.
Doesn't matter. He won a major championship.
Right.
He has a green jacket in 2019.
Right.
No, and he is the defending champion, and he can't
oh, yeah,
defend.
There's that, too. Yeah.
There's that, too. How
yeah.
about that one? Just to throw a little icing yeah. on top of the cake.
Oh,
here.
Boy. All right. Dan's fired up already. Like
We haven't even hit the iceberg because I know the next thing you're going to talk about, and I'm ready to go on that one, too.
Holy cow. All right. I'm not finished with this Tour Championship thing.
All right.
It just occurred to me, you said in your little piece there, you said that the about how it's four times the points for these tournaments, the three tournaments and, you know, the two leading up to the FedEx Cup. So, you know, the majors are worth double points, but the Northern Trust is more important than, I don't know, the U.S.
Yep.
Open.
That's what the PGA Tour is telling you with their
right.
FedEx Cup point system.
Yep. Right. Yeah,
the whole, but they're also telling you that the Northern Trust is more important than their own players' championship.
Yes,
so they're actually keeping themselves in the, you know, they're shoving their own foot in their mouth with that one as well.
Oh boy, they have a lot of feet in their mouths, collective mouths. Now, all right. So, are you going to watch? I mean, you'll watch, right, or no?
Yeah, I mean, of course, I'm going to watch. It's golf. I'm going to watch, obviously. Yeah. But you know, I mean, realistically, as far as you know, after the Open Championship, I mean, it's
I agree.
That's basically the end of the season at that point because of the way they have the schedule set up now. So, I mean, yeah, I'm going to watch, but what am I going to do? Watch a couple guys who realistically have a chance because of the way the system is set up now go for $15 million? Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Congrats
and,
for them.
And on your Twitter account, at Dan Hauser Golf, H-A-U-S-E-R, golf, yesterday, this is great. Just a friendly reminder that the PGA Tour has turned its tour championship into a Saturday scramble at your local Muni. Only thing missing is the shotgun start. It's perfect.
If you look at the way the tour championship is set up now with the staggered scoring and it doesn't remind you of playing in like a charity scramble or something at your local club or, you know, a member guest, then I don't know what to tell you because that's basically what it is now.
Wow. All right. Okay, are we done with this?
I mean, think about it this way for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone who has watched a minute of golf this year, no one's going to argue with this statement that I'm going to say. There's no question in my mind, or anyone else's mind for that matter, that Brooks Koepka had the best season, regular season, on the PGA Tour. Can we all agree on that?
Well, I guess. I mean, he won two majors this year?
From start to finish. I'm talking about collectively as a whole. Yeah, okay. All 40-something tournaments throughout the year in terms of his finishes, his wins, his near wins.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree that Brooks has the best collective overall season on tour. He won the regular season. He won that Wyndham Reward despite the fact that he didn't even show up to the Wyndham tournament.
Correct.
You know, we talked about that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So he won the regular season. He had the best overall season total. And now he's going into the tour championship. And with this new system, he's already has to.
He's third.
Come from out of the lead. He's
right.
Third. Exactly.
Yeah.
Before he even hits a shot. So
right.
How are you rewarding the guy who had
the
best
season? Yeah.
And how are you rewarding him when he's three shots off the lead before he even hits a shot now in the actual tournament?
All right.
Like, how does that make any sense?
Here's what you
because
need
why,
to do.
Why? Because JT won last week and it was worth four times. I mean, it's just.
All right. Calm down.
It's not rewarding the guy.
Take a deep breath. Calm down. Okay? Calm down. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to find out who on the board of the PGA of America. I'm going to call our friend Kelly Williams, who is a big board member of the PGA. I'm going to call him, and I'm going to find out. We are going to take that segment, just that first 10 minutes of our conversation, and send it. Well, let's send it to the whole board of the PGA.
Because well, we don't want to send it to the PGA of America. We want to send it to the PGA Tour.
Yeah, the Tour. That's what I mean.
Okay.
And Kelly will know. They know that even though they're different organizations, Kelly will know who we can get this to because there's no way to refute any of the arguments you just made. None.
Let's just send it right to Jay Monahan himself. Let's
okay.
Just go right to the top.
All right, let's do it. I'm going to text you his email address.
All right.
Or you know what? I don't want to get you in trouble. I'll just send it to him and say,
"All right, there we go."
I'm not telling you who this is, but just listen.
You're a bigger name than me anyway, so you'll get more eyeballs on it.
Yeah, that's true. It's true. All right. Now, moving on. What were we going to talk about? What was the next thing?
I don't even remember anymore at this point. I think those were the two main points, I believe.
Yeah, they were. Okay, let's. We got about, I don't know, 4 minutes or something here. Even though it's not till December, let's talk in the same vein. Let's talk about all the idiots that are saying that the captain of the United States President's Cup team, one Eldrick Woods, isn't playing well enough to be a captain's pick, his own pick, and play in this President's Cup. Because there are people that are saying that. And that, too, is an absolute joke. The president...
I mean, it was a week or two ago, I believe, that we first addressed the topic. And at that point, I said he set himself up to not play with
right.
the way he was talking. But now, the other day when he got on that conference call, the way he readdressed it now, I can't see a scenario where if he's healthy, he now doesn't pick himself. I mean, especially since he came out and said, you know, I'm going to play with Ricky and Justin and all those guys at Medalist, and as long as they don't tell me not to play, you know, I'm not going to rule it out.
Right.
You really think somebody like Ricky Fowler or Justin Thomas or any of those guys or Tiger Weeping Woods and say, hey, man, you're not allowed to play. Like, get the F out of here with that. They are not going to tell him no. So the only one that's going to tell him no, basically, is himself, because if his logic is, oh, well, I'm only not going to play if somebody tells me no, don't play.
Right.
Then he's playing. Man, who,
yeah.
Nobody on the PGA Tour in the front office is going to tell him no. None of his fellow players are going to tell him no. None of anybody on the other team is going to tell him no. You sure as heck better believe that nobody at NBC who's going to air this thing is going to tell him no, because their ratings are going to be through the roof
yeah.
if he actually is a playing captain. So find me one person who's going to say to Tiger, hey, man, don't play. You can't play. You're not good enough to play anymore.
Yeah. Well,
the only one who's going to tell Tiger no is himself.
Right.
So that's what it comes down to.
Here's
the Tiger would want to play in the President's Cup is the question.
Here's the other thing. The President's Cup is, I wouldn't call it a made-for-TV event, but
no, it is.
It's an entertainment event. It doesn't have anywhere near the weight of the Ryder Cup, which has been going on for 172 years or however long it's been. And it's great because there are a lot of world-class players excluded from playing in the Ryder Cup, and I get that. And so that's great. They get to play against them. We love seeing match play and all that. But there's aside from Tiger and the eyeballs, there's absolutely no reason for him not to play if he can stand up and get out of bed, basically.
Well, two things to add to that. Absolutely, first off. And second, I guess three things to that.
That okay.
First thing. The second thing is, if anybody out there realistically thinks that if Tiger Woods takes a captain's pick, that means the U.S. is not going to beat the international side, then you've never watched the President's Cup, you know, a minute in your life. Because the U.S. could show up with Brooks Koepka with one hand behind his back and Tiger Woods, you know, barely able to swing a club, and they still win.
Yeah.
Okay, that's the second thing. The third thing is, and I wish I could credit the person who floated this idea today, because I thought it was actually a genius idea. But somebody floated the idea on Twitter the other day that if everyone's really so concerned about Tiger Woods taking up a captain's pick, then what you could do is each side could make their four captain's picks. And then you allow Tiger to be a playing captain, and it could even allow Ernie Els to be a playing captain too. But they don't take spots away from anybody, and basically each side just has an extra guy. So then
right.
Tiger and Ernie don't even have to play as much, and the sides are still even. Nobody can complain about Tiger took a spot
away
from somebody else who
right.
was more deserving. Blah blah. That's fine. Everyone gets their captain's picks, and just let Tiger and Ernie play just for the fact of. Well, it's a made-for-TV entertaining event, and I think everyone would love to see Ernie Els and Tiger Woods be playing captains at this entertaining event, as you call it.
Absolutely, and let Ernie and Tiger, if they want to, let them
play in one of the matches
or play in singles against each other. Or
exactly.
Let them play in the best ball part, one of the best ball matches.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely.
There's
so many different ways they can. I mean,
right.
Because the President's Cup doesn't have the history and the prestige of the Ryder Cup,
mm-hmm.
there's really no rules here. I mean, yes, there are rules, but there's nobody saying, hey, that you can't just
right.
add another guy to each team and make him Tiger
right.
and Ernie and just say, okay, you guys go ahead and have your fun.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's not that big a deal. I mean, it is, but it isn't at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense, which scares me, because most of the stuff you say makes sense to me, and that's just got to be wrong somehow. All right.
Well, if it's wrong, then I don't want to be right.
No, I knew that was coming. I just set it up for you on a tee. I put it on a tee for you. Get it?
And that was a 350-yard Rory drive
straight
down the middle of the
fairway. All right, let's not get into that, all right? Anyway, I'll talk to you next week, and
right.
we'll talk about the great victory for Justin Thomas in the Tour Championship.
Oh, all right.
It's my pick.
Right. Well,
he's going all the way.
See if that happens.
Yeah. Well, local guy, and we love his. We've had his parents on our daily show, and they are fantastic. So we're rooting.
Great people.
All right. Thanks, pal.
All right.
Have a great week. See ya.
All right. Bye.
All right. That'll do it. So much fun. Thanks to everybody for appearing on the show, including me. Well, I never give myself props. Okay. Yeah, thanks, Maddie, for coming on. Thanks to Sean, as always. Thanks to our wonderful partners. Carolyn Stone Insurance Services. They'll give you 5 quotes for any type of insurance you want. They are great people. Go see them. Michael Cunningham and the gang at Carolyn Stone. Best practice facility anywhere. Anywhere. Man of War Golf. Top 100 club fitters in America. Go see Brad and all the great people over at Man of War. Practice. Go get your clubs fit. Do it. Edwin Watts. I'll tell you, I stopped by there a couple days ago. They have some incredible stuff going on over there. Sales, anything you need in the world of golf. French Lick Resort. It's the only resort you can play, Sean, with golf courses designed by 2 Hall of Fame architects. 2. And a 51,000 square foot casino and 2 great hotels. Lexington Parks and Rec. Incredible. Incredible. Our great golf courses. And speaking of great golf courses, Marriott Griffin Gate Resort and Spa. Griffin Gate, peeps. Get on over there. Go say hi to Colin in the pro shop. I'm telling you, you will not. We're so lucky. We really are incredibly lucky. That's a Reese Jones design golf course right here in Lexington. All right. Talk to you next week. Thanks for listening. It's Backspin Golf on ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5. And oh, yeah. Before I forget, hi, Christmas Scarrow. Peeps, this show's over now. Here's what you do. Go to podbean.com and just type in Next on the Tee and listen to Chris and the incredible guests he has that he swipes from me. It's a great, great, great show. Thanks for doing it, Chris. All right. See you all next week. Bye.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Man O' War Golf, the golf improvement experts.